If you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know that I'm a big fan of connecting with locals when you're traveling someplace. If you're just going to be inside the tour bus, then you might as well stay home. The best parts of travel for me are when you get out into the marketplace or into the cafe where you meet the locals and have a chance to interact. If you're also looking to experience this, then check out Explore Worldwide, whose local tour leaders will get you off the beaten track and into the heart of the adventure, helping you get past being a tourist, experiencing local culture, and finding places you would not find by yourself. And isn't that what travel is all about? If you're thinking about your next adventure, head to exploreworldwide.com to find out more.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, episode 762. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about gardens and grand theaters, cafes and cemeteries, graffiti and steak, as we go to Buenos Aires, Argentina. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Let's talk about Buenos Aires. I'd like to welcome to the show Rax Suen from NomadUnveiled.com and the Chat with Nomads podcast, who's come to talk to us about the city of Buenos Aires, Argentina. Rax, welcome to the show.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Now, Rax, you are not originally from Buenos Aires. What's your connection to Buenos Aires?
So, man, I'm originally from Singapore, and I was traveling in South America, basically. And of course, as I traveled down south, I came down to Argentina, and it's basically, I'll say it's one of my favorite countries within South America for sure. I arrived in Buenos Aires, and then I went over basically to Patagonia, Antarctica. I came back up Patagonia, and then I came back to Buenos Aires just because I kind of liked the city quite a bit and decided to stick around for a while. Not as long as I thought I would because of the pandemic, but yeah, but it's still a very fun and interesting city for me.
Excellent. Well, it's definitely one of my top five countries that I've been to in South America, but I've only been to five. So you're saying that is probably a little more authoritative than I am. Excellent. And why should someone go to Buenos Aires, Argentina?
For me, I think Buenos Aires is good because firstly, it's convenient and it's a capital city. Mm-hmm. So what you can really get is you can get a different mixture of arts, culture, gastronomic experiences and nature all in one place. Mm-hmm. And because it's a capital city, the infrastructure is better. So I don't reckon you need to plan like a lot in order to visit Buenos Aires because you can find quite a bit of stuff here. And also you can also get a taste of different parts of Latin America, I would say.
Okay. Excellent. And what kind of itinerary are you going to recommend for us?
So this is my fourth time coming to Buenos Aires, I would say. And I will share my experience in the sense of the first time I ever came, right? Because that was the first time I ever got to know the city mm-hmm. and visit the city. One of the ways I always recommend is to look up for free walking tours and sure. see how these tours actually segment different neighborhoods. And that gives you a very good idea of like what are the different neighborhoods that you can visit and kind of structure your itinerary around, right? And it's also because coming in as a foreigner, there's a lot of things you can see, but you will never really know the history unless someone tells you the history. So this is why also like certain going on this free walking tours helps because you can not just check out like the sites and attractions, but you kind of know what are the stories behind each of this architecture or this particular building. Mm-hmm. So that's great. So that's it. The way I see Buenos Aires is that it's broken down into, like, I would say 5 or 6 interesting districts, each having like its own attractiveness and its own genre of things to see, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah, and that is how I would plan my day, like trying to figure out where to go on each particular day and check out a certain district. And to start off, I would say what's important is that, let's say if you come for a week and 7 days, where you allocate the weekends are important, because there are certain places whereby you should visit on the weekends because of certain events happening.
Okay.
Right. So I'll actually start with the first one being Sunday. There's a San Telmo Sunday Fair. So that is where there's a long stretch of like street fairs of people selling street food and all kinds of like cultural stuff and all kinds of nitty-gritties. And it's a fair that's quite long per se, because it stretches from Plaza de Mayo all the way down to Plaza Dorrego or the San Telmo Market. And you will always find a lot of people there. It's not just a place for like tourists, but also locals. Like families like to go there, friends like to go there on the weekend to basically hang out and do stuff and eat. So it's not like a touristic trap or anything, but it's definitely something to check out for. And that is where I would recommend allocating your Sundays to.
Okay. And just putting some of those, you mentioned where it goes from. So Plaza Mayo is the main public square near the Capitol buildings.
Right. So Plaza de Mayo is where Casa Rosada is. And Casa Rosada is kind of like the White House of Argentina, of Buenos Aires.
Except that it's pink.
Yeah, except that it's pink. That's a very prominent gathering point for people. And there's a huge flag. There's a huge Argentinian flag right in the center of the plaza that makes it a very nice place to hang out even. Yep, and it stretches all the way down. So the fair starts on the right side of Plaza de Mayo and it goes all the way down. You are basically just walking down a whole stretch of road all the way down to the San Telmo Market.
Okay, excellent. What else are we going to do?
Okay, and for Saturdays, I would say, so San Telmo in itself, coming back to San Telmo, because like the neighborhood itself is actually a very historic and bohemian neighborhood. You can also visit on usual weekdays and stuff, but it's just that with the weekends, I think you really feel the vibe of Buenos Aires, the local vibe, rather than going on the weekdays. And it might be a little more quiet per se. So weekends are good. And there are certain eateries there that are nice. And the architecture is one of the things there that I like. I'm not like an expert in architectural styles, obviously, but you can really see a difference, because I've walked along San Telmo with a friend who is always interested in this kind of stuff. And he was pointing out like how old the buildings were. And the style that it is, it's also very different from what you see in Recoleta, which is another neighborhood that that is worth visiting. Coming to that, I would say Recoleta is a good place to visit on Saturdays.
Okay.
And the architecture here is more posh. And if you say something like, we know that Buenos Aires is actually one of the more European-like cities.
Right.
Compared to any other city in Latin America. Apart from Buenos Aires, I would say that maybe the other closest city that I've seen to having a very European vibe is probably Cuenca in Ecuador. But Buenos Aires specifically really has a very strong European vibe. And sometimes I don't even feel like I'm totally in Latin America when I'm in Buenos Aires compared to other cities that I've been in, right? So in Recoleta, basically, you see all these very posh-looking buildings and historical buildings that are from the past, and it has a lot of influence, European influence on, like, the architectural style. And this is an area whereby you also find very interesting places like El Ateneo Gran Splendid, which is like a bookstore that is built into a theater that was in the past. So you walk in and there's this open, spacious place and it's 3 levels. And you still see like kind of the stage, except that it's now a cafe, but you also see the second and third sitting area which you can go up to. So it has a very impressive feel and you don't necessarily need to go in to buy books or read, especially if you don't know Spanish, but it's definitely still a place to visit and spend some time at.
Okay, that may be the prettiest bookstore I have ever seen.
I probably think it is for me.
That's really funny. It's like a grand theater of books. That's interesting.
Yes, it is a grand theater of books. Yeah. And around the area, there's always like parks. And Recoleta is just a very vibrant neighborhood that sometimes we say that it's for the rich people. Like you see a lot of more well-dressed people walking around, walking their dogs and stuff. And I think that is very common in Recoleta. And if you go during the weekends, you'll see people having like tea at cafes and stuff. But one of the main reasons why I feel like Saturday is a good day, and for me, it's a favorite place of mine, is actually the cultural center in Recoleta. Like, it has a very vibrant feel. And Saturdays, if you go, you might see people, you might see youngsters basically dancing or practicing certain sports, or they could be doing cultural events or playing music. And when you go there, that's just a lot of energy. Like, that is one of the reasons why I like it there. And there are always exhibitions on different kind of artistic stuff in the whole cultural center anyway. And most of them are usually free, so we can just walk around and you can feel the young heartbeat of Buenos Aires. That's how I would describe it. Yeah.
Well, and one of the reasons you know it's a special neighborhood is people are always dying to get into Recoleta.
In some sense, but the weird thing is I've actually kind of heard like Recoleta is not a very nice place to live in because the neighbors are always very picky about noise. Because, you know, the buildings here are not actually very noise-proof. Like, you can always hear what your neighbors are doing. And so Recoleta, apparently, like, I've heard a rumor. I've never stayed in Recoleta myself. But people are always saying that the neighbors are not as tolerant about noise compared to other areas.
Well, some of the neighbors in Recoleta are oblivious to noise because, of course, my joke was that Recoleta is known for the Recoleta Cemetery as well, where people are dying to get in, which is one of the very interesting cultural spots in Buenos Aires. It's really one of the, oddly enough, one of the top tourist spots in the city is this particular quiet neighborhood of Recoleta.
For sure. I would say I'm pretty surprised by it in the sense that it's probably like the most crowded cemetery I've seen that is filled with tourists. Like, you go in and like there are definitely way more tourists than locals there doing like the proper stuff. Like, tourists are going there to visit. There's even like a walking tour for the cemetery.
I think I've done a walking tour of Recoleta,
Yes, it's kind of interesting because if the cemetery itself deserves a whole walking tour by itself, so you can kind of see how touristic it is.
Right.
In some sense, it's definitely worth a visit because some of the tombs are actually very nice and well built. It's actually nice to walk around, check it out. What I would say though is that apart from the Recoleta Cemetery, and I digress a bit, is that there are other cemeteries that are bigger and maybe more localized and less touristic that is also worth visiting in other neighborhoods.
Okay.
One that I will point out, and this is probably something you will never find in the guidebook or people won't talk about it because it's just not that known, right? But there's this cemetery called Cementerio de Chacarita in the neighborhood of Chacarita, basically. It's bigger than the Recoleta Cemetery and it's quieter because there's no like crazy ton of tourists coming in. And you really get the place to yourself. You can check out cemeteries. And one of the more important graves there is actually the grave of Jorge Newbery, which is a very popular Argentinian aviator. And that's the airport is actually named after him in the Palermo area. That's where domestic flights come and go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and there's this very nice looking grave. It's big. And it's basically you see a fallen hero with like, I think, four or five condors looking down as if he's paying respect to a fallen hero. So it's actually very impressive. And it's a nice place to check out if you want somewhere that is more local and quiet.
Well, and one question. So if people go to Recoleta, which we say a lot of people do, it's a very urban cemetery in the sense there's no grass, there's no green space at all. It's just not like that. If we go out to the one that you were talking about in Chacarita, is that more of a green space that people are familiar with when you think about a cemetery?
Actually, no. You basically get both, or rather in terms of the graves and the tombstones look the same. It's the same structure and everything.
Got it. Okay.
And I kind of think that is the way in Latin America, not just, it's just that
interesting.
Maybe in the States or in somewhere from back home in Singapore, we are more used to a green patch with like just one small tombstone. And that is our idea of a cemetery. But having been to some cemetery in Bolivia, in La Paz, and in Cusco, Peru, I noticed that kind of all the cemetery looks like that in Latin America.
Okay,
Good to know. Good to know.
Yeah, but in the one in Jakarta, there's like a big green space with no graveyard, basically just like a white area where you can sit down and you can have a picnic there if you want. But yeah, so you get a mixture of both, basically, in the one in Jakarta.
And I'm not sure I've been to Jakarta. I can't put it on my mental map. Where is that neighborhood?
So Jakarta is basically above Villa Crespo, which is on the left of Palermo. So Palermo is obviously a very popular district. And if you keep going left...
Palermo. Okay, got it. Yeah
Palermo. Mm-hmm. And if you keep going left, you'll end up in Villa Crespo. And Jakarta is slightly north of Villa Crespo.
Yeah, and I think Palermo was where we stayed when I was in Buenos Aires. Nice residential neighborhood, some great restaurants and things like that, but quiet.
Yes, correct. So Palermo is, I would say, is the hipster district, basically.
Well, that's why I stayed there. So, you know, I am such a hipster.
I think it's a common area. I've always stayed in Palermo. In fact, like most of three of the four times that I've moved within Palermo myself, I've always stayed in Palermo. And also because Palermo is the main spot that people always hear about is Palermo Shoho. But on top of Palermo Shoho is Palermo Hollywood. Below Shoho is actually Palermo Chico. So it kind of spans quite a big area, and and it's where you find very great restaurants, cafes, nightlife, and a lot of events are usually in Palermo, which is why I like to stay there. Like, it's just convenient. Like, anytime someone is organizing like an event or within the expat community, even most of the time you'll be in Palermo. So it just makes it convenient to do stuff. Right. And it's only this time round that I stay in Villa Crespo, which is still near Palermo. I'm like a 10-20 minutes walk away from Palermo just because of a gym that's nearby that I wanted to go to. But that's the only reason.
Okay. Excellent. Where to next?
I will touch deeper on Palermo because a lot of people will look at the cafes and stuff. But one of the main attractions in Palermo are actually the gardens and the green spaces. Mm-hmm. So you have a few big nature areas that you want to visit. One is the botanical gardens. The botanical gardens are nice. It's not super impressive or anything, but it's worth a walk. The one next door, which is called Eco Parque, that is the one that I like the most, I would say, because here, this used to be like a zoo in the past, but they basically converted it to like a open space reserve. And what's amazing here is that you can see animals walking around freely. So mainly you see peacocks, you see these capybaras walking around just openly within the park. Yeah, so it's really interesting. I mean, you're not supposed to touch them or approach them, but you're basically walking around with them. Yeah, so that's interesting. It's a very, very nice place. There's a reservoir in the middle, great place for a picnic. But of course, beware of the animals coming over. But here is a good space. So coming in, you can check out the botanical gardens and you can walk up Eco Parque and you will end up at the start of what we call Bosque de Palermo, which is like a forest of Palermo. That's what we call it, right? And this is a huge green area where a lot of people will come for workouts, for exercising. And in the evenings, it's always, always crowded. There are also museums here and also a rose garden. So the rose garden is it's actually very beautiful, but you've got to come at the right time to check out the rose garden, because if you come in the winter, then obviously there are not that many roses. But if you come during spring or summer, I think it's a good time to check it out. So that is where you basically see like white roses, pink roses, and a lot of like well-kept nature and gardening basically by the locals. And if you pass by the garden, you basically reach this railway track and a whole row of restaurants and nightclubs. This is another popular nightlife area. And what's interesting about it is the train goes past on top of these places. So that means when you're eating or when you're dancing, you can suddenly hear this noise of the train going past. And it's just fun. It's just nice because it's a bit different, right? So this is another area to check out and to go for a walk, definitely.
Excellent.
So from Palermo, if you go down Avenida Labrador, you are basically hit Recoleta. So this whole stretch is filled with places that are like parks and museums and also the library. The library is a place whereby you can go up to get actually a city view if you want to. So that's also a good way to check out the city in some sense. So that is an area whereby I think is worth walking rather than just trying to get from places to places. And this is one of the things I like about Buenos Aires. I think transportation is convenient, mm-hmm. but you don't always have to use transportation because walking through the neighborhoods actually gives you a lot of things to see and check out.
Okay. I remember we did a lot of walking and did a lot of riding of the subway as well to get to some of the farther away neighborhoods.
Yes. So speaking of which, then we do definitely have to talk about Centro, which is the Mico Centro of Buenos Aires. I don't particularly think that it's a good place to stay per se, because I mean, in many cities, people like to say stay in the so-called city center, right? Because it's convenient and stuff. But in this case, I don't actually think that Mico Centro is a good place to stay because it's usually bustling in the daytime because it's where a lot of the offices are.
Sure.
So in the weekdays, it's basically filled with people. On the weekends, though, it gets very quiet because obviously no one is working and there's nothing much happening. Also because the center of Mico Centro, it spans a huge area, but the central point is basically the obelisk, which is this Egyptian-looking like structure that stands in the middle of the city and the widest street in Buenos Aires called the Avenida Nueve de Julio, yeah. So that's the widest street with the obelisk there, right? That place is actually like a hot spot, the main spot for protests. So anytime there's a protest across the city, definitely there will be something there. And of course, when there's a protest, you can expect like there might be traffic jams or something like that. So that is why I don't feel that Mico Centro is like the best place to stay. But in this area, you basically still have a lot of important buildings, like starting from Casa Rosada, which you talk about, is definitely something to look at. And you have Palacio Barolo, which is a very nice building that has been done by a European architect, I believe. But what's the main spot of that thing is that there's also another viewpoint at the top of the building where you can get a very nice view of the city. And that is, I think, one of the most popular spots for people to so-called get a city view. That requires payment, so you need to pay to go up, but it's a worthwhile place to check out. And some other hotspots that you have there are Cafe Tortini. It was rumored to be the first ever cafe in Buenos Aires, basically. And a lot of popular personnel have been there and stuff. And here at night, you are also able to get like a tango show. I've never been myself for the night show, but it's a popular tourist attraction to go.
Mm-hmm.
But you can definitely go in the afternoon, or I reckon you should kind of go early because there's always a queue. So try to go late morning latest so you don't have to queue for a long time. But there's a cafe inside where you can sit and you can have a coffee and churros and stuff like that, which is just a nice break when you're walking around the city, right?
Mm-hmm.
Another popular place in this area is Teatro Colón. It's a arts theater for shows in Buenos Aires. It's said to have like amazing acoustics comparable to the theaters in London and Paris. That is basically one of the things that I want to do, but I've never been able to do because I've delayed so long. But then now with the pandemic, basically nothing's open. But it's definitely worthwhile to get tickets to a show here if you can, if you come at the right time. But there's also like a tour whereby you can just pay to kind of have a tour around the place.
I've done the tour. It was a lovely tour, beautiful building, and you know, get to go backstage. But obviously it would be even more special to hear a performance in the theater, and I have not.
Yeah, for sure. I think the acoustic is the main thing, in my opinion. Like, you really want to hear it, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But one of the interesting things to note here is that the theater basically have free shows on certain weekends that you can get tickets.
Oh.
Yes, apparently. So I have friends that have stayed in Buenos Aires in the past for a year or two for student exchange or something like that.
Right.
If you follow their Facebook page, sometimes they will post, like, okay, there's this particular event. And if you want the tickets, you can reserve and you can collect the tickets on like a Wednesday or a Thursday. And the show is like on a Saturday or a Sunday. So it's worthwhile like following the Facebook page and figuring out like when they have free shows, if you want to take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing to definitely look out for.
Excellent.
Another feature of Mico Centro, I would say, is where some of the rooftop bars are.
Mm, okay.
One of the most popular bars that I think gets you a good view is the Trade Sky Bar. That is where you can, there's two levels, I believe, the 15th floor and the 19th floor, that both are kind of like a club or a bar place where you can get a drink, you can get food. And this is one of the best vista points because you don't just see the city, you're also able to see, look out to basically Puerto Madero, which is another area. And that's where you can see the ocean and stuff. That's why that's a good place to get like different views of both like a more natural element and a more city element of it.
Okay. I was trying to figure out why it was Trade Skybar. It's not in the trade building or something like that, but I didn't figure it out.
It is in an office building, but I have no idea what the office building is for. Yeah, but it's called Trade Sky Bar.
Right.
I reckon it's something to do with the building, though.
I suspect it is, but I didn't figure it out. So,
have you been as well?
No, I have not. I'm just looking at pictures of it as we talk.
Okay. So, yeah, the Trade Sky Bar is definitely a nice place to go. I've been twice, one time on the 15th floor and one time on the 19th floor. Obviously, you want to go for the higher floor because it has a more panoramic view.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good place for drinks and for the sunset as well.
Excellent.
Yep. So we will move on then to the next area, which I just mentioned, which is Puerto Madero. And Puerto Madero it used to be a swamp area, I believe, and it extended and expanded into a commercial area with a waterfront, with a very nice promenade that has a lot of high-end restaurants that you can actually visit. But there's also a McDonald's there, so even if you cannot visit the high-end restaurants, there's always a McDonald's. But anyway, it's a good place for a walk along the promenade, and sometimes you see musicians playing stuff there, and you see locals hanging out. And if you go deeper into it, another one of my favorite areas is basically an ecological reserve that has been extended out towards the ocean. And this is a very nice place for daytime or even for the weekend. Basically, you can go in and it's an escape from the city. What's amazing is when you're at the park or when you're in the ecological reserve and you look back towards the city, what you see is like forests in front of you, and then behind you see the skyscrapers of Puerto Madero.
Hmm.
So it's a very funny but amazing feeling. It's almost like being in Central Park in New York. Something like that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, basically. So you're seeing forestry, but then of course when you look far, you see high-rise buildings. Yeah, but here, basically, a lot of locals come here for walks, for cycling, and you will see school kids coming over for school trips because this is also a place whereby there's quite a bit of wildlife. You don't see them walking around freely, but definitely they are, if you look at the swamps and stuff, you see birds and stuff like that. So it's a good place to really get a bit of a feel of nature, I would say, in a city-like place, cosmopolitan city.
Mm-hmm.
So that is Puerto Madero, and it's also a place that is worth looking into for sure.
Okay.
And the last really prominent area, I would say, in the district in Buenos Aires is La Boca.
Right.
La Boca is basically your working class area where the locals really stay at. There's two particular things that are really, really prominent there. One is the Caminito Street. This is a bit of a tourist trap, in my opinion, because it's... so for me, I like to travel to places and I like to see a lot more local culture, right? Mm-hmm. I think the district here is worth looking at because the district here is really local. It's basically where local people stay. You wouldn't find a lot of tourists staying here just because sometimes people tend to say like it's a bit dangerous at night.
Right. Yeah, it has a reputation.
Yeah, it has the reputation, and it's a bit further away from the rest of the attractions mm-hmm. as well. So it's not exactly a nice place to stay or convenient place to stay. So it's very local. But Caminito Street itself is a bit blown up for tourists because you basically see these very colorful
right.
metal buildings.
Yep.
The metal buildings are basically, they are made out of zinc and stuff, and metal sheets are a representation of the past whereby the buildings were built that way.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and I'm not sure if the current ones were from the past or were they specifically built to look like that, but they are basically painted in very nice colors. And of course, being a touristic place, you see a lot of touristic stuff.
Sure, yes.
Yeah, so it's a nice place to walk for sure because mm-hmm. and a nice place to get like photos and whatever not. And you have this doors, I'd say, that are hanging from the buildings, and which is why I say it doesn't look that authentic, but it's a fun place to be at. It's a fun place to check out.
It's a bit of a party.
Yeah, it's a bit of a party. But there are certain things there that are worth walking into. Like sometimes you go inside a particular store and the interior actually comes from the past. Like you can see that the interior is from the olden times. And it's a very nice place to just walk around and feel the vibe of the interior. I would say one thing about Buenos Aires itself is never really judge a book by its cover. Like, you don't just look at the storefront and decide. Because even in places like Palermo, right, when you look at maybe a cafe, right, and you just look at the front, the storefront might be very small. Like, it looks like a small place, small door, and then you walk in, and then there's this whole garden inside that is just beautiful and amazing. So I would definitely say sometimes don't just look at the front and decide. If you can walk in and check out the interior, you might be able to find some hidden gems around in the city. So La Boca is also one place to do it, whereby there are these shop houses or shopping spaces whereby you go in and it looks more authentic, let's just say, compared to the front covers. So Caminito is definitely one place to visit. And the other prominent place is basically the Bombonera, which is the home of Boca Juniors, one of the local football teams that are extremely popular for the Argentinian people or for Porteños. Porteños are basically people from Buenos Aires. So this is rumored to be like one of the most passionate fan clubs in the world. And I already know that Argentinians are definitely super passionate about football. I've been to the World Cup in Russia myself, and one of my roommates happened to be Argentinian as well. And he was telling me all how he's a fan of La Boca Juniors and stuff. So if you get a chance, I think tickets are extremely hard to get because they are sold to season pass holders. And I think even to be a season pass holder, there's a queue for it right now. There's a wait list to become that. So you definitely have to find some ways. I think some tour agencies offer to procure tickets for you, but you definitely need to double check that because there can be scams around. But if you are into soccer or if you are into like football atmosphere, that is definitely one of the places or one of the games that you want to try to go to. On the other hand, if you are not a fan of soccer and you hate crowds, game days are definitely days to avoid La Boca because it's going to be super noisy and there's a whole load of traffic jam before and after the game around the area.
Well, and one of the most memorable experiences I had in Buenos Aires started in La Boca, and that was a graffiti tour with Graffiti Mundo, which I see is still around. They have a museum of graffiti as well. But the interesting thing with graffiti in Buenos Aires historically is that graffiti was as much a political statement as anything else. And it used to be that the politicians were the only ones who were allowed to do graffiti back in the dark days of Argentina when it was not a democracy. And so it is a huge form of expression, and a lot of that area has some just incredible murals that take up the sides of buildings, including the world's largest, at one time at least, the world's largest graffiti mural and things like that. But it was a really fascinating tour because it wasn't just seeing the graffiti or street art, but it was also learning more about the culture and learning more about that particular scene. I've done a couple of graffiti tours that have been fun, but this one really stood out for me. And you can do that starting again in La Boca.
Yeah, that, to your point, I think that's like Buenos Aires in general is an amazing place to basically go for tours like graffiti tours or street art tours that you're mentioning, because just in La Boca, and I definitely see a lot more in La Boca, like you say, some of them are huge and it covers like the site of a whole building.
Right.
And I've actually never done a graffiti tour in La Boca. And sometimes, but there was a day that I went to La Boca during the weekdays and there's basically no one there because it's a weekday morning, right? But I was just walking around looking at all these graffitis and I was like, this is amazing how they are paintings that huge of a mural. And some of them even have like certain elements, 3D elements that are sticking out.
Right.
The buildings that complements the area. And I think there's this cultural center there called the Usina de Arte. Well, it's nothing like amazing or special or anything, but I always like to visit cultural centers that are looking a bit different. And this building used to be a certain station or something, and they are basically building in a cultural center to it. And around this area is where you find a lot of this street art and graffitis that are nice looking, right? And apart from that, this is also another reason why Buenos Aires is a nice city to walk in, because not just in La Boca, even in places like Palermo, there are a lot of very nice street art. They are not as huge, but they can take up a whole alley and you just walk into an alley and you're filled with street art. And even in Villa Crespo, where I am now, there are areas whereby, and I think there is also a street art tour for around this area. So this is definitely another thing that you want to keep a lookout for when you're walking around Buenos Aires.
One of the cultural things that I remember learning, and I wrote a blog post about this that I'll link to in this show notes for this episode, is some of the street art is activism. So it's particularly promoting a political point of view. And one of them was pointing out in the soccer, so there's avid soccer fans, there's also been hooliganism and some thugs in the soccer fan community. And so one of the particular murals were people wearing different team jerseys or whatever, but with heads as animals, sort of talking about the gangs that were infesting the local soccer culture, which is interesting.
Yeah, I can definitely see that kind of vibe here, even in Buenos Aires itself, because there is a local rivalry between Boca Juniors and River Plate, which is two very prominent soccer teams.
Right.
And both have their home grounds in Buenos Aires, basically, right? So I can definitely see that happening. Speaking of which, the home of River Plate is basically in the district of Belgrano and Nunez, which is also easily accessible if you are staying in Palermo, if you are wandering around the touristic neighborhoods of Buenos Aires. And I think some of these places are not usually prominent, like the prominent districts I've talked about are the common areas that tourists go to, but there are also other areas, like, for example, when I say Villa Crespo, Belgrano, Nunez, all these are areas surrounding still like the main spots, but they are very nice areas to walk to check out like more local life. Like Palermo is the district whereby a lot of tourists would stay, and San Telmo as well. These are popular districts for short-term tourists to stay, but for expats or people that are staying longer terms, I think neighborhoods like Belgrano, Villa Crespo, or Las Canitas, which also has a nice street of cafes and restaurants of a hippie culture, is also a very nice place to visit. So Belgrano is basically the place where you also have Chinatown, and that is where you get a lot of your Asian food and your Asian cuisines. And I would say if you're looking for Asian food, Belgrano is a better place than in Palermo. I mean, in Palermo, because it's such an international and hippie place, you get a lot of international cuisine, you get Asian food as well. But those in Belgrano are, in my opinion, more authentic. So that is where you find your spices and your Chinese, Japanese food. And Belgrano, it has a train station, which brings you access to Tigre.
Okay.
And Tigre is one spot that we definitely want to talk about. So it's a bit off the Buenos Aires city. It's a 1 hour by train or 30 minutes by Uber or car drive. And it's called Venice of Latin America in the sense that there are basically islands. And there's this river delta, which you can take a boat and it goes around to tour the different islands and stuff. And it's a very good place for water sports activity. Like locals like to go there on the weekend for kayaking, for boat rides, or even for a weekend getaway. So it's common for a lot of people to stay over on a weekend, maybe book an Airbnb or something at one of these houses that are off in one part of the island. And then you just relax there or have an asado or a barbecue. But it's also very suitable for just a day trip just because of the proximity, right? It's just an hour by train ride. And the train is comfortable and convenient, I would say. If not, the Uber by car is just 30 minutes and it's not very expensive as well. So that is also something to dedicate a whole day to, I would say.
Well, the other day trip that we did that I quite enjoyed was going over to Colonia de Sacramento across the river, Ra Plata, in Uruguay.
I think that's a very common trip as well. Yeah, I've actually been there. And like you say, because it's very convenient. And I think that's one of the attractions of Buenos Aires, right? Like, it's kind of easy to even get to another country.
Sure.
I think by the ferry, it's like an hour to Colonia. And if you are even like more adventurous, you could do like a 2+ hours ferry straight to Montevideo as well, which is the capital of Uruguay.
Sure, right.
Right, but one thing I find about Colonia myself is that I think, so it's very common for tourists to take a morning ferry and then they will leave by like kind of the late afternoon to go back. So it's a small town that you can visit in the day, and definitely I would say half a day or one day is definitely enough for Colonia. But
yeah, it's not very big.
it's not very big. So when I went to Uruguay, I basically went over via Colonia, but I stayed because I was going to travel Uruguay. Mm-hmm. Right. And I find the charm of Colonia really comes at night.
When the tourists go home?
Yeah, when the tourists go home.
Sure.
And the place is quiet and you have it all to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very amazing vibe in walking around that small place just like at night. where the streets are dimly lit, these cobblestone streets, they are uneven. Mm-hmm. And you see the architecture. It's like you are going back into the past.
Excellent. One thing I noticed is I found the review on Amateur Traveler of where I stayed when I was in Buenos Aires, which was in the Hotel Vitrum in, again, up in the Palermo neighborhood, as I mentioned. But I didn't remember that I had reviewed the hotel. So apparently I did, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes. Lovely place to stay, but again, a lovely neighborhood, as we mentioned. Any other side trips, as long as we're talking about side trips, that we want to mention it when you're in Buenos Aires, you also ought to think about going to...
There's this place called Bioparque Termiken. It's almost like a zoo in Belén that is near Buenos Aires that I've never been, but back then a group of my friends went and they loved it. It's basically almost like a nature reserve or a zoo where you can see birds and you can see animals.
Okay.
And I think you can get a bus there easily from Plaza Italia, which is kind of also a main plaza in Palermo per se. And I think there's a direct bus there. So that is one trip that you can think about if you're really into nature stuff and, you know, seeing animals and stuff like that. I think that's worth considering as well.
Well, and you mentioned Plaza Italia and Palermo. We didn't mention, but there is a surprisingly large portion of Buenos Aires population historically that was Italian. We mentioned the connections to France as well. And so that's one of the reasons why it is such a European style city, less of an indigenous population and a whole lot of European immigrants in Buenos Aires historically.
Yes, there is. In fact, when I was in Rome, I met a whole lot of Argentinians. When I was staying in the hostel, almost all my roommates were Argentinian. I was like, so back then I did not know this at all. And it's only after the trip to Rome that I actually knew this. And I was like, why are there a lot of Argentinians in Rome? So yes, apparently there's a lot of European history tied to it, which kind of influences the architectures around the city, as well as the gastronomic experiences here, right? And I think a lot of Argentinians are always looking to so-called try and claim their European passport, European citizenship, because that is obviously a good passport to have. But it's always interesting to hear stories from my local friends about their journey to trying to claim that, because you do actually need to prove a lot of things. And the documentation needed, and always, you know, in the past when they write stuff, there used to be certain accents on alphabets. And if you're missing a certain accent or something like that, it gets difficult. It gets complicated to do the verification.
Well, and there's one well-known representative of Buenos Aires who now lives in the Rome area, and that would be Pope Francis. So there's a rather big connection between the two cities right now. As somebody who used to be a bouncer in some of the places in Buenos Aires back before he became a priest. So excellent. We're going to start to wrap this up. Is there anything else we really need to cover about Buenos Aires?
In terms of places, not really, but if you like to talk about food and stuff.
Let's talk about food. I did want to actually talk about food.
Yeah, because food is big for me whenever I travel.
Yep.
And I would say a big part of Buenos Aires for me has been about food, particularly during the quarantine, because obviously there's not a whole lot of places you can go visiting for sure, but you always need to eat. So food has always been a big thing for me in Buenos Aires.
Well, and Buenos Aires is known for beef, I would say, traditionally. And I remember walking down the street from our hotel, the Vitrum, as I mentioned, and just coming across places where we're packed with locals, which is always a great place to look for when you're eating. And we ate at some place where we had a lot of beef, some salads, a bottle of wine, four people, $30 or something like that. So local places, pretty affordable. What would you recommend if I'm wanting to enjoy the food scene in Buenos Aires? What should I order or where should I go?
Like you say, steak and beef is definitely like one of the main highlights for me eaters, for me as well. And what's interesting really about it is the concept of asado or parrilla, some would call it.
Mm-hmm.
If possible, I would always recommend doing it with a local. Because in terms of asado, is what I like about Buenos Aires is everything is not just a single thing. It's always a social experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I always find that it's better when you do an asado because it's a social gathering between friends and you do beef grilling and stuff in the whole event and creates a very different vibe to it. So that's one way to do it. I've also been to an Airbnb experience that I booked with friends.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, we went into a kitchen and we learned how to do asado. So we prepared the meat, and we also tried the dry-aged beef. And the dry-aged beef is definitely something that's worth trying here, basically. If you want to, I'll say this is the place to try all the expensive cuts because of the price-to-quality ratio here is extremely good, right? So that is one thing that you can do if you can't find a local, because I know that not every tourist that comes over can just find a local within a few days. So you could go for certain experiences that are offered on Airbnb or certain places. That's one way to do it. But obviously, there's always the choice of going to a steakhouse to eat. And that is still a very nice experience. A few of the popular places for this, one is Don Julio. Don Julio is always crowded. And you have, if you're reserving for dinner, you always need to reserve way in advance. It's located in the district of Palermo. And this is one of the most popular steakhouse in Buenos Aires. Near Don Julio, there's this another place called La Cabrera, which I personally think that is not as good as Don Julio, but it's still like a more of a premium steakhouse place. And what's very noticeable about this place is that they have a happy hour from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m., where you get a 30 to 40% discount off the whole bill. And that is where it gets interesting, because that is a lot of money when you're talking about 30 to 40%. It's a good discount. And the food is still nice nonetheless. So that is one place to check out. And if you want to go somewhere else, not in the district of Palermo, there is a place called Corte Comedor, which is in the area of Belgrano, that also has really good cuts of meat. And I would always go for, I would say, definitely try the beef for sure, get the wine, and also, I would say, look at things like chorizo or moshia. Mm-hmm. And these are definitely things to try. I think moshia is a very unique thing for most visitors because it's like blood sausage, right? And coming from Asia, I don't think that is very unique. But I think for a lot of North Americans, that's not something that you typically eat back home, right? But I find a lot of expats from the States have gotten to love moshia here.
Okay. Now, for our friends who are not meat eaters, is there hope at all?
Yes, in fact, there is. And that is actually one good thing about Buenos Aires or going to a capital city. I think there are definitely vegetarian or vegan options that are around that you can try. Yeah, a few of the places that I've always been, and I don't actively seek out these places just because I'm not vegetarian, but I've had some nice food here that are vegan-based. One that I've recently tried is actually called Vegan Fox. They are a burger place. But the burger patty literally, for me, tastes like meat.
Okay.
If I wasn't told, I would not have known that that is not meat. But of course, from the name, you kind of know it's like Vegan Fox. So that is a very nice place to get food. The other place is called Buenos Aires Verde. It's like a cafe restaurant concept. And that is where you can get very good juices and cakes and also more healthy selection of food like salads and stuff. Those are definitely available as well.
Good to know. Excellent. Anything else we need to mention before we get to some of our wrap-up questions?
I would say the wine is worth trying.
Oh, the wine. Oh my gosh, we haven't talked about the wine.
Yes.
The wine is great and cheap.
Yes. I would say wine is definitely one of the things that you want to bring back home if your home country allows bringing it back. Because it's basically nice and cheap. And even though Buenos Aires itself is not like a wine county, but obviously all the wines from all over the country comes into Buenos Aires since it's the capital city. And I think a lot of people put focus on Malbec, which is so-called the national wine, because that's the most drank here.
I love a good Malbec,
Yeah, but I would actually, or my personal favorite, and I would like to point out, is actually Torontes, which is the white wine of Argentina. And
sorry, what's the name again?
Torontes.
Torontes.
Yeah, Torontes is a white wine that is sweet. And I don't think you can find this easily anywhere else outside of Argentina. Hmm. And even if you can, it's probably going to be way more expensive. But my personal favorite wine in Argentina is Torontes. And I definitely encourage people to try it, especially if they like white wine. And you can pair it up with cheese and picada, which is like a cheese and meat board in some sense. And that's like a good pairing to go with.
Excellent. Well, and if you're extending your trip to Argentina, obviously there are numerous countries you can extend to, but another extension, if you are a wine fan, would be potentially head down to some of the wine regions as well. Excellent. Rex, as we go to wrap this up, you are standing in the prettiest spot in Argentina, in Buenos Aires. Where are you standing and what are you looking at?
This is tough. Well, my favorite place will basically be Parque Rosedale, the Rose Park that I was speaking about. And what I'm looking at is basically nature as well as the vibrant energy of people exercising. And I think that is the most surprising or captivating thing about Buenos Aires for me. It's so energetic. There's a lot of greenery and people are always like running or exercising outside in the evening. And that is what I think is very attractive for me in terms of my feelings to the surrounding of the city.
Excellent. And one thing that makes you laugh and say only in Buenos Aires?
Oh, I really don't know, man. I'm sorry. I actually don't have an answer to this question. Yeah,
that's okay.
I think there's a lot of unique things, but definitely not that. But I do think, like that's a side topic, but I do think that we might want to touch a bit on the money issue.
Oh, what is the money issue?
So this is important for tourists to know. I think it's very important. So in Argentina, so not just Buenos Aires itself, in Argentina, there's a blue rate and an official rate in terms of currency exchange.
Right.
And it's very important to know that most of the time, if you spend with your credit card, it's going to be the official rate. And sometimes the official rate and blue rate can vary by almost 40%.
Oh.
Which means that if you spend with your card, it's 40% more expensive than spending
in cash
that you exchange with on the blue rate, right?
Hmm.
So there's a few things to take note of. One is that you definitely want to try to use cash as much as possible. One of the reasons being that some stores, especially when you go to fashion or clothing stores, they have discount like 10-20% for using cash versus using cards. Secondly, the card system here isn't exactly that great. Like sometimes I use my card here and they just can't process it for some reason, right? Or it takes a long time. You spend 5 minutes standing at the cashier waiting for the card machine to process. So, and that's a bit awkward at a grocery store, for example, because there's a queue waiting for you and you're holding up like 5-10 minutes of the time. That's another thing to think about. And so what I would say is, for me or for a lot of expats here, we use Western Union as a way to retrieve cash at almost similar to the blue rate.
Hmm.
And that is one of the better options.
Rather than just getting money out of the ATM.
You should definitely not get money out of the ATM. That's the other thing, because you can do currency exchange from like money changers. I don't know what's the rate back home in the States or something like that, but never ever or try not to, this is the last resort, to take money out from the ATM, because there's a very, very low limit of withdrawal and there's a withdrawal charge with a bad rate. So you're basically losing the most exchange rate, conversion fees, withdrawal fees from taking out from an ATM. So that should be your absolute last resort.
Wow, which is almost the exact opposite of what we ever tell people.
Yes. Yes, because I tend to travel long term. So ATMs, my usual go-to, because I obviously don't carry a whole bunch of cash. So I go to a place and usually withdraw. But Argentina is definitely not the place to use ATM withdrawal.
Hmm. Good to know.
Yep.
This is news to me. And this is why we have other people on who know countries better than me.
This was also news to me when I first came. Like my first 2 weeks here, I spent with card like almost every time. And I realized it was a bad idea.
Huh. Interesting. Rax, if we asked you to summarize Buenos Aires in 3 words, what 3 words are you going to use?
Vibrant.
Okay.
Energetic.
Yep.
Tasty.
Excellent. I can agree with all three of those. I should also tell people, if you're planning on going to Buenos Aires, when you get in a cab, can you look to see if you find my SLR, which I left in a cab in Buenos Aires? So, and if you find it, just let me know. So, Rex, if we send people to nomadunveiled.com, to your best resource on Buenos Aires, where are we going to send them?
I actually have a guide written on Buenos Aires itself, especially for digital nomads, since that's what I'm focused on. But you can definitely get places on what are the top 10 food to try, local food and drinks to try, the places of attraction, the segmentation of districts that I've talked about, as well as coverage to other parts of Argentina if you're using Buenos Aires as a transit base to visit other different parts of Argentina.
Excellent. Well, and if people are not familiar, I think this audience is probably familiar with the term digital nomad, but we're talking about people who are working from the road. So they didn't retire independently wealthy, but they're still working, but they're doing it independently of location. And in this case, from Buenos Aires or from other parts of Argentina. And if you want to know more about that, I suspect if you go to the Chat with Nomads podcast, you can probably hear more about that lifestyle. Is that correct?
Yep, for sure. At Chat with Nomads, we are basically talking to different digital nomads, all world travelers who have been on the road for a long time, and they are sharing their stories and their adventures about wherever they are in the world.
Great. And that's where you can learn tips like when to use the ATM and not. For sure. Sort of practical information. Rex Suen, thanks so much for coming on Amateur Traveler and for sharing with us your obvious love for Buenos Aires.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for having me today. It was a fun chat.
First, a thanks go out to those who help support the show through Patreon, the patrons of the show. They get the episodes early and without ads, and they also get a monthly Zoom call. If you're interested in supporting the show, go to patreon.com/amateurtraveler. I heard recently from John, who had some suggestions for episodes. Thanks for producing some interesting episodes of Amateur Traveler from a listener in London, England. I heard you mention some ideas for episodes. Some ideas I have is you could do one on round-the-world cruise or other cruises. Greek island hopping, backpacking, and interrailing around Europe, where you buy travel passes for trains and travel to lots of different cities' attractions with a certain time frame, depending on what length ticket you buy. Kind regards. And I talked to John, but I tend to do not the theme shows, although I thought about opening up a new version of the show that would be more thematic. I definitely am doing more cruise episodes. In fact, I'm getting on a boat in 2 days in the Caribbean, so definitely we'll be doing more about cruises. But again, I'm planning still on focusing on the one-week itinerary, which seems to fit well within the confines of the show. And then I also heard from Eric, who said, I've never been traveling in a city when a podcast about that city dropped, but by gosh, I was in Cleveland this morning when I got a Stitcher alert about this episode. Thrilled that one of the first things Daniel mentioned was Lakeview Cemetery, where I spent the previous morning at the Garfield Monument. I did the Rock Hall and went to a Cleveland baseball game, and it was about all I had time for. Thanks for the ideas for future visits. Cleveland does actually rock. Eric. Thanks so much, Eric. I don't know that I have ever been in a city when an episode on that city dropped. That would be a first for me as well. With that, we're going to end this episode of Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com, and thanks so much for listening.